So I was listening to a podcast the other day, and I heard an advertisement for a new company. Are you ready for this?
No. Yep.
It's called Swimply. Here's the premise. You have a backyard pool, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what you want to do most with that backyard pool?
Charge somebody money.
Run it out to other people.
And wow.
Let other people, like, you can rent it out for an hour or two and be like, yeah, you can come swim in my pool. And they're like, provide the insurance or whatever for other people to come and swim in your pool. I'm definitely peeing in that pool.
Right.
It's a pool. It's going to, you know, that's right. Just going to happen.
That's what, like, you do. Yeah.
All right, welcome back to Beyond Sunday Podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me, as always, Pastor David Nazaroff.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here. Still pretty successful.
All right. Well, one day.
Yeah.
Maybe soon. Maybe for the next podcast.
I feel like there's a musical in there somewhere. One day. I don't know. It just seemed like there should be a song.
Rainbow.
No, not that one.
One day more. That's Les Mis.
That is Les Mis. Yeah. It just seemed like there should be a song coming. Like, you know.
Yeah.
All right.
It seemed like the song time.
Well, we're back to the first of the month, which means we're back in the Bible.
Ooh, all right. Mm. That's good because we're behind the scenes. We're recording two episodes today, and ooh, I didn't know which one we were doing until right now. So good.
There you go.
I didn't either.
Yes, back in the Bible.
All right.
I have my notes right here in front of me.
We can't see your notes. I don't read over your shoulder like Elise.
Yeah, I can see them.
They're literally feet away from you, less than three.
It's upside down. I don't read your hieroglyphics.
Okay. Yeah. Hieroglyphic, it's print.
It all looks like hieroglyphics. When I look at print upside down, it looks like hieroglyphics.
All right. Mm. Well,
need a Rosetta Stone up in here.
Well, whatever. Let's see. Yes, we're back in the Bible, and it's officially summer.
Hey.
Yes.
No, it's not.
Well,
June 21st.
It's June. June is the start of summer.
It's officially summer, except it's not.
It's not June. Right. June is the start of summer.
It's the start of, like, what we call summer, but summer is June 21st.
Blech.
That's where your official sorts for all your incorrect facts.
That's right.
All these nerd things.
Right.
All right, so we're continuing the journey of the Israelites. We left off last time with 2 Kings.
Right.
Well, I guess 2
Things
Chronicles.
Were looking a little down for the Israelites as they were taken from their homeland, their temple destroyed, their leadership banished.
Whoopsie-daisy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're jumping into Daniel.
Oh, okay.
Which would be the next chronologically.
That's in the Bible.
There could be some missing pieces that we're not
probably
unsure of.
There are probably other things that we're writing.
Here and there.
Yes, but we're jumping to Daniel, which is a bit of a time jump, but not that much. Well, first, we've got some news.
All right.
The news.
There you go.
Thing.
From our neighbors to the north, Oklahoma.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Canada. Okay.
No, I think in terms of Texas, not the United States. So.
Right. Of course.
Like a Texan.
An Oklahoma lawmaker, state representative, has offered a $3 million bounty on a live capture of Bigfoot.
Excellent.
And this isn't just a private thing.
No.
This had to go to the state legislature.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Yes.
Did they approve this?
So this is the second time he's offered this. The first time it was only $25,000.
Mm, yeah. Up the ante.
And they rejected that one. So he came back $3
million. Okay. And?
I don't know if they voted on it yet.
Oh, well.
As of time of recording.
Is Oklahoma a likely area in which you're going to find
Bigfoot?
I thought Bigfoot was supposed to be in, like, mountainous regions
say,
of the Pacific Northwest.
Is always what I've thought.
Pacific Northwest.
But
PNW. I heard P&W.
P&W, obviously. I always, who's to say that there's only one Bigfoot, though?
That is true.
That's true.
Right. Yeah.
There could be one all over the place.
He's probably not just a one-off. There's probably, like, a race of Bigfoot.
Right. Plus, like, the Yeti is, like, probably a Bigfoot varietal, right?
Yes.
Like an artisanal Bigfoot.
Yeah.
The northern Bigfoot.
I can't. Okay. You know, there's different kinds of bears.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, different bears, different Bigfoots.
Grizzly, black, brown, polar. You know.
Who's to say?
Bigfoot,
the
Yeti.
The polar Bigfoot.
Yes.
I don't think polar so much as Himalayan, but sure. Yeah.
I mean,
mountainous.
I'm thinking polar bear.
You know, yes.
What is that?
Versus regular bear. Just snowy climbs.
Who's to say, a Yeti can't be up there in Alaska,
right?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I'm not saying he couldn't be. I'm just saying.
You know, the Northwest Territories area.
Yeah. Yes. All right.
The Yukon.
Mm.
Yeah, the Yukon.
Look at you all throwing out your Canada knowledge.
Sure.
Northwest Territory.
I know what none of this means.
Yukon.
Couldn't identify it on a map, and that's kind of it, you know?
Yes.
So, so I don't know. I never really did picture Oklahoma as the source of a Bigfoot things. You know, if I was like, hey, I got to go find a Bigfoot, Pacific Northwest or
deep Canada? Appalachia.
Right. Yeah.
Canada.
That's
sure.
That's the southern banded Bigfoot.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've driven through Oklahoma, and it's like miles and miles of flat.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, it's a lot of
it's
nothing.
Fine, it's, but yeah. It's a lot like Kansas. Like, if you're a Bigfoot, there's nowhere for you to hide in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I accidentally shoplifted in Oklahoma when I was little.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What? Did you shoplift a Bigfoot?
No.
What did you shop?
You could be $3 million richer if you did.
A peppermint from the grocery store. Ooh. I thought they were free, like in the Pizza Hut, because they were just hanging out in a barrel.
But they were not.
Oh. Yeah.
How many did you shoplift?
Just the one. And my mom drove me back and made me take it to the manager and explain what I had done. I was 5.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Have you ever shoplifted since?
No, I've not.
Yep.
There you go.
So good. It's stuck.
Yeah, I guess it works now. Yeah.
I owe it all to Oklahoma.
Oh, yes.
My life of not crime.
Thank you, okay. Oklahoma.
Right.
Well, State Representative Justin Humphrey had this to say
to the
state floor, state Senate floor, not even state house. So,
okay.
Members, I am really excited today. I'm really pumped. You know, like
I'm really pumped on the floor of the Senate. I'm really pumped.
Yeah, it turns out, man, there's a guy in the state who's got the same mind as I do.
Whoa!
So you found a like mind.
God made two of them. Individual. Yeah.
This is turning out to be huge. He said, "We're going to offer $3 million. We've raised the bounty today. $3 million for a live capture of an unharmed Bigfoot."
Listen, I will be Bigfoot for $3 million.
Yeah. What do we need? Yeah. How do we make this happen? Yeah,
how big do my feet got to be?
I will stand on your shoulders and wear a trench coat.
I'm on it. I've seen this movie and Little Rascals and all sorts of things. Yeah.
Yeah. He is selling this. Well, first, one. We're not going to harm any Bigfoots, okay?
Obviously. Sure. Because that's
catch and release Bigfoot, or
I assume it's a live humane capture. There's no mention of a release. I bet if you capture a Bigfoot, he's not going back in the wild. Yeah. Like, let's just be honest.
Why do we always assume the Bigfoot's a man?
That's
a good
question.
There's got to be a lady Bigfoot,
right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Unless Bigfoot's just like millions of years old.
Well, it's at one point like there was not Bigfoot. Just one Bigfoot. Yeah. He didn't go from an amoeba into Bigfoot.
Right, they had to, yeah.
Sure.
Be female big feet.
Bigfoot could reproduce asexually, you know?
Ooh, that's
a possibility. Like mitosis. Yeah. Like a starfish. You cut off a Bigfoot's arm, another big
grows.
Gross.
A new Bigfoot. That'd be cool. All right. I'm down.
Love this theory.
Yeah. It's not going to be, it's not a hunt, by the way. He wants to clarify that.
Right.
Oh.
We don't hunt Bigfoot.
No.
Obviously.
That'd be inappropriate.
Right.
Nobody
Plus
wants.
Plus it would kill you.
Obviously.
I've seen the jerky commercials. What are those? Jack's jerky something? Yeah.
Nobody wants to harm Bigfoot. We want to do a live humane capture
of
Bigfoot.
Sure.
We are wanting the whole world to come to southeastern Oklahoma.
Wow.
To the state of Oklahoma and get involved in our bounty.
Okay. Southeastern Oklahoma. I'm looking this up. I want to see what's in southeastern Oklahoma.
Nothing. I can tell you.
I'm pretty sure that the band Hanson is in southeastern Oklahoma, actually.
Hunting for Bigfoot.
Maybe.
All right. So I will give them that southeastern Oklahoma gets into a little bit of the natural. There's a Ouachita. I'm probably saying that wrong. I'm sorry. A national forest. And it's part of the Choctaw Nation. So there's some Native American tribe land there. So there's probably more like foresty area there. I'm still saying that's not where my hunt is for Bigfoot.
Right, right.
But so there's probably more forest than I was giving them credit for.
So part of his proposal here is
there's
wants
more. Okay.
The Oklahoma Wildlife Conservation Commission to create rules for a season in which people could search for Bigfoot.
Oh, Bigfoot season.
Yeah, because
it's Bigfoot season.
Do we need a permit?
Yeah.
To hunt for Bigfoot? Or sorry.
I think it's supposed to be, you know, a bit of a tourism trap here. Come to Oklahoma, buy your Bigfoot permit, search for Bigfoot.
As opposed to all the other parts of the year when I can go and hunt for Bigfoot for free.
Right.
Yeah, but this one has a $3 million bounty.
Oh, sure.
So I mean, look, if you find a Bigfoot, you're getting $3 million no matter where it is.
If I find a Bigfoot, do I have to find it with a license? Like, if I find a Bigfoot unlicensed, do I not get the $3 million? Is that the deal?
You keep him in the trunk of your car till you go get a license. Like, as long as it's live and humane.
Right.
Yeah. It's to create awareness for the Bigfoot Festival.
What?
In Hanobi, Oklahoma, that takes place on October
the BFF.
1st and 2nd
that's
every
not,
year.
That's not what I thought BFF meant.
Yeah. Bigfoot Festival, duh.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So there you go. Hunt for a Bigfoot.
Wow. I want to know more about this Bigfoot festival.
Me too.
Can we take a podcast field trip?
Oh, we definitely need to take the show on.
When is it?
It's Oklahoma 1st and 2nd.
Oklahoma 1st and 2nd?
It's October 1st and 2nd. Okay. There you go.
We have time to raise funds.
What do we need to raise funds for? We're just driving to Oklahoma.
You know, snacks.
Yeah.
Good.
Plus, obviously. I need a. What do you need to lure the Bigfoot in? Yeah. You know, that's going to cost some money here to set a trap. You can't just put out like the little trap that you try to catch a possum in your backyard. Right. Okay?
It's How do you know? Bigger.
You probably we paint one of us with honey.
Yes, I like this. I call Patrick.
Oh, okay, that's gonna be sticky. I'm gonna attract a lot of bugs
and a Bigfoot.
All these mosquitoes stuck on you.
But think of the $3 million, Patrick.
That's right. Okay, that's
the
true.
Service to the podcast.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
We can do it like the Blair Witch Hunt. We can film it that way.
Yeah. Sure.
Documentary. We
could constantly be walking around with our microphones and headphones on, just a stream of consciousness recording a podcast.
It's really no different than what we do right now.
It's a little bit, yeah.
That'll work really well with our electrically corded setup that we will just be walking around with microphones not plugged into anything.
Well, we'll have an extension cord. We're going to have an extension cord. Okay, so
extension cord will solve all our problems.
From the car, we got about 100 feet of Bigfoot hunting.
We accidentally snare each other in the wires.
Inevitably, yeah. Right. All right, October. Mark your calendars, listeners.
Yeah, if anybody finds a Bigfoot, let us know.
Yeah.
Or if anybody has ever been to the Bigfoot Festival, I want to hear about that,
too. Yeah.
There's been multiple shows. To my knowledge, one's found a Bigfoot.
Indeed. None.
Yeah. What if their feet aren't really that big once you find them?
Maybe that's the trap.
A little bit of a letdown. Yeah.
Maybe we're all looking for the wrong foot.
Yeah. They're like, that guy's hairy, but his foot, he's more of like a size 9.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That couldn't be Bigfoot. Yeah.
All right, let's go.
An apex predator.
Into Daniel. All right.
Was Daniel a Bigfoot?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not to my knowledge. So this takes place right after the Babylonians. The Babylons. They have conquered Jerusalem.
Yes.
Sacked the city.
Destroyed the temple.
Carried off survivors back to Babylon.
Yep.
The exiles.
Yep.
All right. So
you work for us now.
That's kind of where we're picking this up. And we don't know how long it's been since the city was sacked.
A while.
It's been a bit.
Yeah.
They're back in Babylon.
More than a couple days.
Yeah. And we have kind of one main character, Daniel.
Yep.
Who has a different name. Do you know it?
I do.
Because you love my notes.
Elise is cheating off your notes. I do not remember Daniel's real name.
I can tell you the gist of it.
Give me the gist.
Not the exact pronunciation.
Give me the gist and I'll help you on the pronunciation.
Belshazzar.
Oh, I was going to guess that. Belshazzar, yeah.
That might be spelled wrong. Belshazzar. Belshazzar, yes. And Daniel has three friends that are kind of main characters for the beginning of Daniel.
These guys.
And then they kind of fade away.
Yeah.
They have their moment to shine and then that's it for them.
But it's a great moment.
And surprisingly, we know Daniel by his Hebrew name, but we know these three guys actually by their Babylonian name.
Mm-hmm.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yep.
Or in their Hebrew name, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah.
Right. None of which are easy to say. So, you know, 6-1 and pick them by
Shadrach,
which one you want to.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego really rolls off the tongue nicely, though.
Yep.
Yeah.
Turns into a nice Rakshak and Benny for the VeggieTales version of this particular story.
Yeah. And we also will have three kings of Babylon. These are kind of the characters.
Also really fun to say their names.
Yes. Nebuchadnezzar.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. My favorite.
Then one that doesn't really matter.
Ooh, rude.
Belteshazzar, again.
Hmm. Yeah.
And Darius.
Yep.
Yeah.
Darius, as in Rucker.
Yeah, Darius of Hootie and the Blowfish. Yes, you didn't know this, but
Hootie was named for.
Yeah. Yes.
King Darius of the Babylonians.
I only want to be with you.
It's a very far-seeing prophecy from Daniel.
That was a very nice Hootie moment, yeah.
All right, and it's kind of easy to divide Babylon Daniel into two halves.
Mm-hmm.
1-6 are stories about Daniel and his friends.
Yep.
And 7-12 are stories of visions of Daniel.
Mm-hmm. It's to be a little crazy time. Yeah.
But there's also another divide going on that's kind of interesting.
All right.
That you may not know. That you would not know if you read the Bible in English.
What?
I think I know this one.
Yes.
Have you read the Bible in another language?
No, but I watched a video about this. So I think I know where we're going.
There you go. All right. Good work.
Chapter 1 of Daniel is written in Hebrew.
Uh-huh.
Chapters 2-7 are written in Aramaic.
What?
And then 8-12 are back in Hebrew.
Okay.
Give me an analogy here. What is Aramaic in relation to Hebrew?
Aramaic, I honestly can't give you, off the top of my head, I can't give you a good analogy of what Aramaic is to Hebrew.
So they are related languages.
Yes.
I think maybe I know.
Okay.
Help us out.
I think Aramaic is more of like a common shared tongue amongst Middle Eastern cultures
and
society,
right?
And Hebrew is more specific to like Jewish cultures.
Okay.
Is that right?
That sounds authentic.
Yeah, you know, I bet if you knew one, it wouldn't be that big of a leap to learn the other.
Yeah.
Like, I think that they have a lot of same roots and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're distinctly different.
Spanish and Portuguese, maybe?
I was going to say Spanish and French. Yeah, like the, you know, romance languages, right? You have things that are very much in common, different.
Pasta.
What?
That's where my head went.
Well, I said romance language.
Common.
Oh, pasta. Yeah. Okay. Lord. You probably would
have a lot of Spanish pasta.
Okay. Paella.
Really not the point. Not pasta.
I don't know.
Paella is rice.
It's been a long time since I've eaten anything
but
oatmeal.
Lord.
Is it even Spanish? Probably, I don't know.
Paella is Spanish.
Paella is Spanish.
But not pasta.
It feels like pasta.
Oh my God. All right. So a lot of shared roots, similar terms, but definitely distinct and unique, because most of the Bible is not written in Aramaic.
Correct.
The Old Testament is written almost exclusively in Hebrew, except for this portion of Daniel and a few other, what I think we would consider to be apocryphal or deuterocanonical books that are written perhaps
say that
in Aramaic.
Word again.
Deuterocanonical or apocryphal?
Yeah.
I like deuterocanonical personally. Yeah.
What does that mean?
It would literally translate to second canon. So deutero, like two.
It's way harder to say second canon. So.
Deuterocanonical is just the word.
Deuterocanonical.
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 Two canons.
Second canon. Yeah.
Boom boom.
Yeah. So, scripture as it stands, right? Well, within the Protestant church, scripture as it stands is the canon, right? So 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament.
Yep.
Then you have these other books that Catholics include, and then you have more books that Greek Orthodox include, and then some other books that other versions of Orthodox include, and the Protestant church would consider those all to be part of the deuterocanon, or the secondary canon.
Interesting.
Canon.
I never heard that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. They don't like it when we call them apocryphal, because apocryphal basically says, like, yeah, that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So deuterocanonical is a more
respectful term.
Yeah, more respectful way to refer to the books
really
that we think don't matter. Yeah.
All right. Let's get into the plots of Daniel.
Okay.
All right. First, you want to cast a Daniel.
Mm.
Ooh.
All right. He's young.
Woody Harrelson. I'm just kidding.
Stop.
He's young, but he's going to age throughout Daniel.
Yeah, he's going to get older.
We're going to spend a lot of time with him. His entire adult life.
But he's determined. We don't get a lot about his like physical appearance.
We get none.
Yeah, so we just know he's smart. We know he's smart.
We also know he's fit.
We know he's fit. Eventually he's fit because he has the Daniel diet.
That's right away in chapter one. Though,
yeah.
So.
Is this like a pre-vegan thing?
We'll get into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yes.
Protein shakes.
Exactly. He's just doing those protein shakes.
Shake for lunch.
How about Daniel Radcliffe? He's already got the name.
Yeah, he seems too boyish to me.
Yeah.
He's getting older. He's aging up.
So my
don't picture Daniel Radcliffe as like 11-year-old Harry Potter episode one.
Yeah.
Picture
Daniel Radcliffe is a weirdo.
As what? Yeah. As Equus? Like, what are we doing
I don't
here?
Even know what Equus is.
He was in a play about a horse.
Yeah.
Okay. No, let's not
don't
do
look
that.
It up.
Yeah.
I might have one, but he's dead. But it doesn't matter. Because it doesn't matter.
Who
you
is
had
it?
One that
this
was
is Dreamcasting. Yeah,
this
that's
Dreamcasting.
Fine.
I'm trying to look up somebody.
I actually had Chadwick Boseman.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes.
I like that.
I'm on board.
Because I think Daniel is an incredibly powerful figure, but he never like holds a sword or really never even like has harsh words for anybody.
Yeah.
But I always get the sense like whenever Daniel speaks, everyone needs to listen.
Yeah. I'm on board with Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I would definitely listen if he were speaking.
Me too.
About anything.
And I think he's got that essence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Daniel and the gang, Daniel's three friends, they are recruited to serve in the courts of Babylon.
This is
right away in chapter one. So they're not just exiles, they're kind of promoted exiles.
Yeah.
Like they're going to be government officials of some sort.
Still kind of slaves, but government officials of some sort.
It's better slavery.
Slaves with a badge.
Yeah.
It's better slavery than some other kinds of slavery.
Yeah.
You know,
no argument there.
And they're pressured to give up all of their Jewish identity. So they're given a Babylonian name.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to work for the Babylonian government.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next part, they're going to eat a Babylonian diet.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they make a deal with the guards. And they're like, hey, we're not going to eat that food. It's not kosher. It's not what God wants us to eat.
Right.
So you bring us just vegetables and water. We'll eat that.
Oh.
And at the end of this period of time, I think it's like a week,
we will be so constipated
that
it won't matter what you want
compare
us to do.
Compare us to everybody else. If we're lagging behind, we will eat the Babylonian food.
Yep.
And they said, deal.
Actually, I think they said that you can kill us. I think. I don't remember that for sure. But I think they basically say, like, we're so sure of this, you can kill us if this doesn't work.
That's pretty confident.
This feels like a thing that Daniel is saying and the other three are like, huh?
Wait a second.
Did we say that?
But they do this deal.
Mm-hmm.
They look great. They're fit. They're healthy.
They look better than everybody else.
Looking better than everybody else. So the guard's like, let's do it. And we did cover a Daniel diet in a previous episode of the podcast.
About health fads.
With Katie.
Yeah.
I wasn't here for that.
You were not here for that.
Yeah. I want to hear about it.
Well, you got to go back and listen to
it. So I want to hear about it now.
Maybe. I don't know.
At the time, we were talking about fads and diets and how sometimes a faith can be like a diet. Like we grab things like a diet in our faith. That's what we're talking about in that particular episode. So,
like a quick fix.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So that's chapter one. That's the Hebrew chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to go into Aramaic. So
okay.
A little different. And so this one, we're also going to see a little bit of a pattern here. It's going to kind of create like a horseshoe.
Ooh.
So chapters 2 and 7 will be kind of linked together. So chapters 3 and 6
mm-hmm.
and chapters 4 and 5. So we'll kind of have this really nice like symmetry in our storytelling with two chapters.
So kind of rise and fall with those chapters. Okay.
So chapter 2, the king has a dream. King Nebuchadnezzar. So King mm-hmm. Nebuchadnezzar is a big deal. So you want to do a casting here?
Ooh, yeah. So older, I just picture, king.
Kingly?
Yeah, kingly. Who's stately?
John Rhys Davies.
I don't know.
That's Gimli from Lord of the Rings.
Hmm.
But he's not short like that in real life.
He's not?
There's nothing wrong with being short, by the way. I'm not coming for
people. He's not an actual dwarf.
I'm just saying. Yeah. Surprise. In case you didn't know.
Or Sulla in Indiana Jones, 2 of the 4.
Sulla.
He's the Muslim.
Oh, the guy who helps Indy and says bad dates and whatever. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I like him too.
Either one of those. That's great.
Okay.
Go with it.
Either one of those. He's the same person.
Oh, that's the same person?
Yeah.
Yes. That's Johnny Davies.
Is
yeah.
the same. Yeah.
Wait.
He was also in the movie Esther, right? Wasn't he?
He was.
Yes.
Yeah. There was a movie version of Esther.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. My mind is still blown by this information. The guy who played Indiana Jones's helper in Indiana Jones 2 and 4.
One and three.
You said 2 and 4 a minute ago. One and three
two.
Is also
2 of 4.
Gimli in The Lord of the Rings.
Yes. That is correct.
And Mordecai and Esther.
I don't know what
that doesn't really matter.
Listen.
That's not going on though.
I had to watch that for a Bible study once.
Okay. I'm gonna have to go back and do some rewatch here. All right. I'm gonna need a minute or 4 days to watch all of Lord of the Rings, but that's fine. It'll be great.
Think about it. So all right, that's good. All right, so Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And
it's a great dream.
Can't get it. He's like, I don't know what this means. Uh-huh. I got this dream. I've got this plan. I'm going to tell my people.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to interpret my dream. And they're like, we got it.
Yeah, we love this.
I'm good at interpreting dreams. Like, here's how it's going to work, though. I don't want to get scammed.
No, because that's the worst.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm going to you tell me my dream, mm-hmm. and then you interpret it.
And if you don't, I kill you.
I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah. To me, this is the most interesting part of Daniel. I know we always talk about Daniel and the lion's den, but I think all this stuff with the dream interpretation is super weird.
Yeah. Yeah, the dream stuff... It doesn't play for a Sunday school audience.
Right.
So that's probably why we don't really know it as much.
Though it does harken back to Joseph and his dream interpretation.
It does.
It shows up a lot in the Bible.
Dream interpretation? Yeah, absolutely.
I'm like, are we supposed to be doing this?
Maybe.
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 What about that dream that I had about y'all yelling at me in the staff meeting?
Yeah, that probably means something.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
You're going to be on staff.
And we're going to yell at you.
We're hiring a senior pastor.
Senior pastor? We'll gladly yell at you if
you
become the senior pastor.
Yeah. You have a lot of vacation too.
So Daniel says, okay, I can do it. I got this.
Because I work for God, Yahweh.
Yeah. So he goes up, here's your dream. You have this statue made out of different kinds of metals.
Mm-hmm.
And the head of the statue is Babylon.
Ooh, okay.
And then this rock is going to come.
That sounds good.
And strike the feet of the statue.
That
sounds
worse. And
it's going to crumble to the ground.
That's no good.
And that's the dream. And so Daniel's going to say, here, that statue, the head is Babylon. All those other metals are different kingdoms that flow from Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
One day, God will smash them because they're filled with violence.
Yep.
And set up a new kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
That's the dream. Nebuchadnezzar likes it. Great.
He's a fan.
Great interpretation.
Cool.
Doesn't really sound like a great dream. He's like, all right. But, he's on board.
He's the head.
He's the head. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
He's like,
he's kind of focused on the now.
Nebuchadnezzar's
not really worried about that's future Nebuchadnezzar's problem, right? I'm living in the moment.
It's all those other kingdoms that are filled with violence.
Yeah.
Not my kingdom.
By the time that rock hits the statue, I'm long gone.
Right.
So, whatever.
He's feeling good.
So that's kind of chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 3, again, this will be linked to chapter 6.
Yep.
Yeah. This is one of the two big stories in Daniel.
Yes.
The most famous. The story of the fiery furnace.
Mm-hmm. I love the fiery furnace story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like this one more than the lion's den, personally.
Yeah.
Okay. In 5th grade, I was in a play about the fiery furnace, a musical.
Wow. musical. What character were you? And please sing us one of the songs. Yes.
It's Hot in the Furnace was our big
that was the big moment.
Was it on Broadway? Off?
You know, a little off. Yeah. In San Antonio. I was one of the three. Yeah. I don't remember Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego, but I was
one of them.
I was one of them. Yes.
And it was like an Abednego to me.
Yeah, that sounds right. You know, yeah. He seems like comic relief in my mind. Yeah. All right. So Nebuchadnezzar builds this big statue of himself.
The statue that was just in his dream?
Kind of.
Yep. Let's just point out that irony. Okay, just told you we're going to have a big big statue. It's going to get smashed. Okay, I'm going to go build a statue myself.
And he hears, big statue. I'm the head. Okay.
Yeah, I like this. Yeah. I'm on board.
That's the only part that stuck.
Mm-hmm. Big statue. And he's like, all right, here's. I got this big statue. We got to have something to do with it.
Yeah.
Let's worship it. And rush and bow down to it. I got to make sense. So they get everybody together, I guess, and they're like, bow down to the statue. Everybody bows down except for three guys. I don't know what Daniel's doing for this
Excellent
time.
Excellent question. I've often wondered that too.
He's where'd in the bathroom. Daniel go? Like, I don't know.
All the vegetables.
All the vegetables, yeah.
Somehow he's not there.
He's not there. I don't know. He's on a mission.
Yeah.
So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are like, no, we're not going to bow down. Mm-mm. And Nebuchadnezzar's like, you guys really should. And they're like,
nope.
We don't do that. He's like, okay. Make this furnace super, super hot.
So hot, it's going to burn the people who are making the furnace hot.
Yeah, and we're going to throw these three guys in there, which really is probably ideal, right? Like, if you're going to be thrown into a furnace, I want it to be as hot as freaking. It's like the surface of the sun.
You don't
want
to have to sizzle for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I want, as fast as possible. So they throw them in there. Yeah, the guards that throw them in there get consumed by fire. Mm-hmm. That's how hot it is.
It's no bueno.
And they are just hanging out in the furnace.
Walking around.
Well, a key part of what I think really sets this as a powerful story is these three guys tell King Nebuchadnezzar, like, hey, our God has the power to save us. We trust that.
Yeah.
But he might not.
Right.
And that doesn't mean he's any less of a good, gracious God. Like, and I think it's really powerful, like that idea of like, I know my God can save me, but he might not.
Right.
Yeah. So, but he does. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. What?
So they're in there, and they see a fourth guy in the fire. Who's this fourth guy?
He looks sparkly and stuff.
Yeah, he looks like a son of God, is what they kind of say. Mm-hmm. And then Nebuchadnezzar shouts into the furnace, "Come out!" So they come out. There's no fourth guy anymore, and they're good. They're not burnt. And Nebuchadnezzar,
they don't even smell like smoke.
Yeah, praises.
They were walking around a fire. Like, I stand by a campfire within like 50 yards for 5 seconds, and I smell like campfire for a week.
That's not the most impressive part of that story. I just want you to know.
I'm just saying, they don't even smell like fire. It's
but did it sting their eyes?
Emphasizes.
Yeah. Or are they making s'mores?
Probably.
Yeah. So they come out. Nebuchadnezzar praises God. For a season.
Yeah, for a while.
Yeah.
Then he's like, oh, wait, I've got this big statue over here. Right. What should I do with that?
Oh.
Yeah, and then that's it. And then those three guys, we don't hear from them again.
Nope.
Unfortunately for the Book of Daniel. Do you want to cast them or just kind of say
nah,
that?
They're three guys. Yeah, they're three guys.
You're a Bendigo.
So I'm pretty sure one was a cucumber and one was a tomato.
Yeah, yeah.
So and you then me. A cucumber and a tomato. Yeah.
And then Patrick.
Yeah. Very moving story.
Uh-huh. All right. And then we get to chapters 4 and 5. We're going to start moving a little quicker here. And these, again, are linked chapters because they're first about Nebuchadnezzar and then about his son, Belteshazzar. Mm-hmm. And they're going to deal with issues of pride.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
All right. So
doesn't Nebuchadnezzar go a little cuckoo crazy town?
Oh, yes. This is in this chapter. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So Daniel will come to, they have visions. Daniel comes to Nebuchadnezzar and says, here's the thing. You're going to go cuckoo crazy town.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to crawl on all fours, eat grass. You're going to live like a beast.
No bueno.
This is what God has proclaimed because of your violence.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of urges him. You should repent.
Yeah.
Nebuchadnezzar's like, no.
I'm good, bro. I'm good, bro. Yeah.
And so he does that. He's out there. He crawls on the ground. He's eating grass like an animal, like a beast, kind of like it really is kind of there. But then he humbles himself and is healed.
All right.
And he praises God again.
Good for him. For a time.
For a season. Well, then he dies. So,
well, season's maybe it's over. Stuck. Yeah.
Maybe it's stuck. I'd like to think so. Yeah. You know. Then Belteshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son, second king. Daniel will work with three kings. This one is just for a little bit, though.
Yeah.
Sees writing on the wall. He's having this big party. If Nebuchadnezzar was a violent king but effective, Belteshazzar is like the party king. He's not really, we don't know him. What we know about him, he's not the violent king, but he's probably not that effective as a king.
Right. A lot of parties.
They're just revelry, you know, that kind of kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what we're saying.
Yeah.
Like if the Kardashians were in charge of stuff.
Yes.
Yikes.
Balthazar.
If well, you know, Kanye did king. Run for president.
Yep. Yes. So, okay, so here's a preview of Kanye as president.
Yikes. All right.
So they're doing this party, and this hand appears at the party and starts writing on the wall. This is where we get the phrase.
Just a floating hand?
Writing on the wall. Yeah. Yeah. So... It starts writing out this prophecy. They can't read it. They're like, what does this mean?
Yeah, it's a weird language. Doesn't make any sense.
And they're like, oh, let's call Daniel. My dad used to go to Daniel. Mm-hmm. Let's get in Daniel.
He knows stuff.
Daniel shows up and says, okay, I know this. Reads the thing. Like, God is basically asking you to humble yourself or bad things are going to happen. The king is like, I'm good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Hard pass.
I don't want to do that. That sounds hard.
Yeah.
And then he dies that night. So gets assassinated.
Yep.
Then we get to the third king.
Darius.
Darius. What? Darius.
I say Darius. I could be wrong. Yeah,
I don't
know.
Care.
I think it's Darius.
It's been, you know, 4,000 years. I don't think Darius
Perhaps
cares.
Darius, but
like a Prius.
Doritos. Okay. Meet Prius.
Darius.
Darius.
Together at last. If you're listening, Doritos or Prius, that's our idea. Right. You can't steal it. Yeah.
Yeah. Trademark.
Prius, the Doritos edition.
Would that be a Prius covered in Doritos flavored cheese, or would that be a Doritos shaped like a Prius?
It's probably like
I would lick the cheese
interior.
Off of either one.
Yeah, it's got like a fine nacho cheese powder all over
the Prius. That's got to be good for the environment, right?
Yeah. Or I think you just open up a little thing and there's Doritos.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Oh, a Dorito holder?
Yes.
A Dorito holder.
Yes, I like it. Yeah. All right. And then, again, this one's linked to chapter 3, which is the fire furnace.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So this one, it's a very similar story.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel's a great guy. He's risen through the ranks. Everybody loves Daniel.
Everybody. Except for
a handful of people.
There it is.
Except for the other people who are competing with Daniel kind of for...
Right.
For being kind of like the right hand to the king. Mm.
Because when you play the Game of Thrones, you win or
haters.
You die.
Yes. There's always haters.
And there's haters.
Yeah. And that. Yeah, I think that's what they say in the show. Tyrion says that. Yeah. But Darius loves Daniel. He's great. He's awesome.
He gives great advice.
He interprets dreams.
Reads things that are on the wall.
Yeah.
He's a good guy to have around.
Anything written on that wall, on the whiteboard, he's got it down.
Daniel's got it.
Yeah. Do we need to cast a Darius?
Do we need to? Probably. I got nobody. I got nothing.
Another kingly person. And he's mostly okay, you know, except for this one major problem. Right. We're about to get to a second.
Not the security guard from the Princess Diaries.
I don't know what that means.
I love it. That's it.
I just watched it.
That's it. The security
the
guard
fans will know.
From the Princess Diaries.
One or two.
He's in both.
I have no idea.
Oh, good.
I'm a little bit ashamed that I even knew there were two.
He marries the queen,
I
think.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I do know who you're talking about. He's in lots of stuff.
What? He is, yeah.
Yeah. He's bald on top with the hair around the rim. What is his name? He's been in...
like everything.
Yeah. He was in the West Wing at one point.
Yeah.
As a thing.
He's like the least famous person.
Yeah. He's one of those.
Bald on top, rim around the thing. Look it up.
All right.
I'll get into this. So they conspire against Daniel and they're like, hey, Daniel really seems to like his God. So how can we use this against him?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, here's the thing. We'll convince King Darius to make a law that if anyone prays to anyone but him, they should be thrown into the lion's den.
Whoops.
And Darius is like, I love it. Let's do this.
Yeah, everybody should pray to me because I'm awesome.
This is great. And they're like, okay, cool. So he makes this a law, and then they find Daniel praying. And Daniel knows this law, so he's not hiding it. He's openly praying like he does. And like, oh, King Darius, remember when you made that law? Good news. We found someone who's breaking the law.
All right.
You found it?
No, I love when people break the law.
And he's like, okay. It's Daniel. And he's like, oh, that's not good.
Uh-oh.
Ooh. And he's like, what can I do? I'm the king. I said this is a law. I can't go back on it. We have to throw Daniel in the lion's den.
Mm-hmm.
But Darius has a little moment with Daniel before that where he kind of says, like, look, I think your God can protect you in there.
I'm not going to do anything about
it. He's like, hey, what can I do?
I can't do anything. I'm the king.
My hands are tied.
My hands are tied. But we'll throw him in the lion's den and hope that you're okay. So they throw him in there, and he spends the night in the lion's den just hanging out.
Yeah. As you do.
Sure. I mean, if you're going to go in there.
Might as well
hang out.
Get comfy.
I mean, what a story. Yeah. Hang out with the lions. I don't know. It's way less scary to me than the furnace. I don't know
Because they're kitties.
Yeah, they're cute.
Because I guess if you're in a furnace, it's like you're definitely gonna die.
Right.
With the lions.
I feel like I could reason with a lion.
Sure. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Maybe you won't. I mean, you will, but you know. Yeah. Like, these aren't like just like zoo lions. These are like starving lions.
Sure. Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, there's that detail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Daniel's cool. He survives all night.
Yep.
We kind of are told that like an angel of the Lord closes the mouths of the lions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So. They still got claws, though. I'm just
going
to say.
Claws, yeah.
Hopefully the angel of the Lord did more than just shut their mouths.
So if you're in there, if you're in there, the lions are not going to eat you. Do you pet them? I would.
Yeah,
I would
for
so
sure.
Snuggle up with those lions. Yeah.
Once you know they're like, that they're cool, I'm like, yeah.
I'd be taking selfies with the lions.
Yes. Snuggle to put on like your social media profile.
You're right. Yeah.
Check me out.
Insta-scroll.
Insta-scroll.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, Lord. By the way, Hector Elizondo.
That's his name.
That's his name, Hector Elizondo.
Okay.
That's why none of us know it.
This is the guy. You recognize him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in
Darius.
He's in lots of stuff.
He's the most
famous, unfamous guy.
Yeah.
Hector Elizondo.
Great.
Look him up.
I never would have guessed that as his name.
Darius.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Daniel comes out of the lion's den the next day.
Yeah.
Darius opens the cage. He's like, Daniel, are you alive? Please be alive.
Please.
And he's like, I'm alive. Darius praises God, humbles himself, and praises the God of Daniel, says, truly, your God is the real God. I mean, really and powerful stuff.
And then
he's like, you know what? Let's throw these other dudes in
the lion's den. Let's throw everybody else in there.
Let's throw these guys who conspired against you. And those lions, their mouths are not closed.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they consume those dudes.
Mm-hmm. It must have been awkward for Daniel.
He's like, ooh. Maybe he's like, that's what happens. You know.
Yeah.
Maybe. It doesn't seem very nice.
Daniel doesn't, we don't get Daniel's inner monologue.
We don't. Yeah.
We don't get really anybody's inner monologue.
But
in
it's
the Bible.
Also not like God commands Darius to throw them in there. It's like sure. Darius does this thing because that's how Darius thinks the world's supposed to work.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, a little aside here, Daniel may be like the one character we spend the most time with in the Old Testament that walks away pretty blameless. I can't really think of anything in here that you're really going to say like
up.
Daniel is not that good of a dude. I mean, Daniel and Joseph are kind of like the two guys that you really walk away and you're like, those guys are legit.
Yeah.
Daniel has a way better case than Joseph in my mind, but yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. Well, I think.
Wait, what did Joseph do?
Oh, Joseph eventually like enslaves the entire people.
Oh.
And like he's the reason that the people are enslaved because as Pharaoh's like right hand man, he's basically like, okay, you just sell us your animals, and then okay, you just sell us your land, and that's how he keeps giving them the crops that they already sold. To the, like
uh-huh.
the first time they raise the crops, they give a poor, and then he's like, yeah, you got to buy it back from me now, even though it's anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
He's not blameless.
Sure.
All right. Oh, there you go.
Daniel has a good case, though, which also feeds into the other episode we're going to be talking about today about religion under political oppression versus religion in the places of privilege.
Sure.
Spoiler alert for next week.
Yeah.
All right. And then chapter 7, again, the companion to chapter 2, the king's dream, now Daniel's dream. And it's pretty similar.
Okay.
He dreams of a bunch of beasts and a super beast, not just any beast. This one's a super beast.
I love a good
beast.
Super beast.
Yeah, I know. I like this dream. This is my favorite.
Yeah. It's got like a big horns. And
like all super beasts do.
A winged leopard is one of them.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Why isn't that in mythology more?
It's in Central American mythology.
Probably.
Watch Elena of Avalor on Disney Plus. You can see all about the winged
Central
leopards.
American mythology.
Yeah, right.
I love that.
Well, anyway, in this dream, the super beast attacks the Son of Man. That's what language Daniel uses.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. And then the Ancient of Days, another interesting language that Daniel's got some interesting phraseology here, comes and defeats the super beast and exalts the Son of Man.
Yep.
And he's like, that's an interesting dream.
It is. And that's where he leaves it.
Yeah. That's weird.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of the end of the Aramaic section. So you kind of see there's a little bit of parallels. We start with this one dream of this statue, and we have another dream of super beasts attacking the Son of Man, but is eventually exalted. And eventually, an angel does kind of show up and feel like it's about patience. You got to be patient here. Because then we're going to get into a lot more dreams. And again, these do not play for a Sunday school audience. It gets weird real quick.
Yep.
I mean, a super beast was not weird enough. Like
Super beast.
Does that come with a cape, you think?
I think so.
You hope.
Next, Daniel's another dream, another vision, more beasts. This one is a ram. And we know this. It's Persia.
Oh, okay.
And the other one's a goat.
Okay.
I think we know this. This is Greece.
Sure.
And the goat's got one really big, wicked-looking horn.
Yeah.
Like, unicorn goat.
Nothing is worse than a unicorn goat. You don't want to run into that thing in a dark alley.
Yep. And that goat and that horn and that goat are real, real bad, but God defeats it.
Hey!
Yep. And Daniel's like, okay, this is weird. And he's like, let me go back and read all the scriptures and scrolls we got.
Let's do it.
And he finds out, oh, according to Jeremiah, we're only going to be in exile for 70 years.
That is what Jeremiah said.
It's about to be 70 years.
It's coming up.
And Daniel's pretty old at this point. He's like, I'm going to get to go home.
Yeah.
Maybe he's never even been home. We don't really know if Daniel was born in Jerusalem and then went to Babylon, or he was born in Babylon. We don't know anything.
Yeah. It seems like maybe he was born in Jerusalem, but we don't know.
I think it seems like he has a connection to the homeland. So he's pretty old. Mm-hmm. And then an angel appears to him and says, hey, no.
But also,
yeah, it's like, it's not going to be 70 years. It's actually 70 times or 7 times that.
Yeah.
So 490 years.
It also wasn't that, but you know, it's fine. It's not really the important part of the story. Yeah.
And so Daniel's like, ugh, that stinks.
Yeah, that's a super bummer.
And
let's go with my super beast.
Yeah.
And then finally, we have a new dream.
Too.
Yes.
Of kings.
Yeah.
New kings showing up. King of Persia, king of Greece. We got a big king of a large northern kingdom that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is wicked and violent and super powerful. He destroys Jerusalem, sets up idols, and then he dies.
Yeah.
The end. And that's kind of how Daniel ends. It's... Mm-hmm. Kind of an interesting note.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes a lot of people, I mean, this is the section of Daniel that a lot of people look to for like apocalyptic prophecy and whatever. Like, oh, well, I now know which king was what and this thing came from here. And
Yeah. Didn't they say later on, was it John that wrote Revelation?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Didn't they say that he referenced a lot of Daniel?
Sure. Daniel, Ezekiel, and other Old Testament. And absolutely.
Stuff. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. His Son of Man language, his writing on the clouds comes almost explicitly from Daniel 10, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, we have quick questions. What's he talking about with all this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Is this a prophecy that's going to happen?
Mm-hmm. You know, it already happen?
Some people have said the king he's talking about. This is actually Antiochus. I don't know how to say it. He was a Greek king.
Yep.
Real bad.
Yep.
Killed a lot of the Jewish people.
Yep.
Died in 160 BC.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was it.
Could have been.
Maybe it was Rome. Mm. Hey, they...
Good chance.
Were real bad.
They eventually destroyed Jerusalem after Jesus' death in 70.
70 AD. And destroyed Jesus.
They did that too. So, yep.
Or maybe it's a future kingdom that's coming that won't really be appearing until Jesus comes again.
Yeah, but out of the north. So it's a race of Santa Clauses and Big Feet.
Well, the northern Bigfoot, not the Oklahoma Bigfoot. Oh,
right. Right.
The northern Bigfoot will rise up against the Oklahoma Bigfoot.
Polar Bigfoot.
Yeah.
It's the southern rattler Bigfoot.
Southern ringed Bigfoot. Yeah. Get your Bigfoot.
There's right. two different types. Okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think if you're definitely fall into the biblical literalism of like all these things have to have a literal pattern,
mm-hmm.
you could make a case for these kind of, but you have to ignore some of the stuff that's in the dream because all of them could be true, but none of them are obviously true.
And this is always a point where, for me in biblical literalism, we start to hit, I don't know, me just hitting a rock usually. Mm-hmm. But as you know, you can't do dream interpretation literally.
Yeah.
Because it's dream interpretation. Like, it's set up on being figurative and metaphorical. And God does this on purpose. Like, God doesn't, you know, when God gives Abraham a vision of the stars being like his descendants, God does not mean that all of Abraham's descendants are going to turn into stars. Like that, we can't do this all literally. And we're just setting ourselves up for disappointment when we try.
Yeah. But I do think it does give us a good information that comes from Daniel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do we want to take away from these weird dreams? If not like, who's this beast? Who's the super beast? Who's the goat's bad horn?
Mm-hmm.
Who's this big guy who dies all of a sudden? Who's the foot of the statue that gets hit by a rock?
Yeah.
It kind of tells us humans, when exalting themselves to power, eventually become like beasts.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of the pattern it's highlighting here. Like if you are all about you and all about violence, this is the natural progression. You'll become like a beast.
Even if you go into it with good intentions. Yes. I think that's worth noting.
Yeah. That's the pattern that is always laid out. It's a beast to beast to beast. And it keeps going, going, going.
What's that expression? Ultimate power corrupt. No, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
And then there's also attached to each one of the things a promise that God confronts the beasts.
Yes.
Heals the afflicted and humbles the proud.
Mm-hmm.
That is attached to all those. And that doesn't necessarily mean God just confronts the beasts of government or military might. It also means God has to confront the beast inside me.
Ooh.
You know, like, and things like that. So that's pretty.
So not just that other golden statue, but the golden statue of me.
Yes. My golden statue.
But I like my golden statue.
Right. Yeah.
Not right. The gumdrop buttons.
So let's think about Daniel here. Big thoughts on Daniel as we're winding down.
I like Daniel. I like Daniel for its providence of God's role in the whole thing. That they remain faithful to God, knowing, you know, like you emphasized earlier, knowing that God may or may not intervene, but they remain faithful to God, and God continues to allow God's providence to be known. Mm-hmm. I think that's a powerful reminder for us.
Yeah. I really like books of the Bible that leave me, I guess, with more questions than they do answers. And I think that Daniel's one of those. There's a lot of like really mystical stuff in here that's not easily explained. And I love sort of the questions of mythology that it brings up as well, and how that all interplays. Yeah.
So like the really flying leopards of Central America.
Yes. Now I have to do a lot of research. Like, okay, why would somebody in the Middle East and whenever BC be dreaming about flying leopards that show up in mythology in Central America?
Well, one, animals like lived in whole different places of the world than they do now, because we didn't hunt them to extinction yet.
Sure.
So there probably were leopards.
Yes. One of the representatives in Babylon was like, we want a humane capture of a flying leopard.
There's going to be a $3 million bounty.
Or a winged leopard. Yeah. So, and putting wings on creatures was a common mythological practice.
Right. I think the point stands, though, that for that to sort of take off in one specific cultural area of the world and show up somewhere else entirely at a different point in history, or maybe at simultaneous points in history, just in different places. Mm-hmm.
For sure. I agree. I think that's really interesting. I think sometimes when you read the Old Testament,
if you like it, put a wing on it, at least.
Put a bird on it.
Super beast.
I think sometimes when we read the Old Testament as an American, it's easy for many people to confuse Israel and America. Mm-hmm. And so I really like Daniel reading this as an American, because it doesn't have an Israel.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is kind of like, how do you, you know, looking to Daniel for guidance, how do I live my faith out in an honest Christian way in the midst of a sometimes hostile nation culture? And I'm not saying America is like Babylon. Maybe sometimes it is. Mm-hmm. But I think it kind of creates, like, there is a contrast. It's not like, nowhere in here is like, you know how you do it? You just make Babylon Israel.
Yeah.
Like you just make Babylon parts of the followers. Or like, just that it's how do we hold fast to something true in the midst of a culture that doesn't always like help us hold fast to something true. And I think that's powerful, and I think that's important. And I think Daniel does offer some insight into that kind of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. It's
good stuff. Are we doing our ratings?
Yeah. I think Daniel's a great book.
Ooh, yeah.
It almost gets two thumbs up for me. It's really good. Yeah.
I'm going to give it a solid 1.5.
Me too.
Same.
Across
the board.
Yeah, so 4.5 stars. Yeah. 4.5 thumbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Solid rating for Daniel.
Yeah.
Good work, Daniel.
Yeah.
Belshazzar.
And like I said, what it has is great.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have a ton. And it gets real weird. So I think that, and that's good and bad.
Yeah. If it stopped before the dreams, if it went like chapters 1-7, I think it'd be hitting 2 stars. But I think the back half is kind of like, ooh, it just gets so murky. And so
it's a little bit like a grim fairy tale almost, you know, it gets like, what? Didn't see that coming. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Daniel.
All right. Well, hey, if you liked this episode and you liked learning about Daniel, go and check out the rest of our Beyond Sunday Bible series. Beyond Sunday Bible series. These special episodes come out on the first Monday of every month. All of our episodes are available at beyondsundaypodcast.com. And we want to hear what you're thinking about. So what's it like for you to live out your faith in a sometimes hostile culture? Send us those thoughts at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.